Okay. Let's take a moment. We've got our clinic call today. I think it's our last clinic call for 2020, actually. Is it? Let me look. It is, because next week is a practicum. So I'm excited to get all of your questions answered and really get you what you need. Let's take a moment and get centered and settled. And so wherever you are, I'm doing this, by the way, not just for you, but for me too. Some of you guys are on my Facebook Live at noon. And you know, that's like, it was a lot of energy. I'm sharing this from just practitioner, facilitator, like human being point of view, right? Like we need a moment to come down for our nervous systems to come down. So I'm going to do this for you as much as I'm doing this for me, so I can really be with you guys fully. So take a moment, close your eyes. Feel your seat beneath you. And let some of your energy that maybe you're holding in the upper part of your body, like from your chest up, give permission and some space for some of that energy to move down, downward into your core. And then into the connection that you're making with your seat, so that it maybe even feels like as the energy is moving downward, that you are grounding down a little bit more. And if you like, you can even imagine that energy moving further down into the floor beneath you, into the earth beneath that, just deeply rooting you into the earth. Not in a heavy way, in a light way, but feeling that groundedness. And then from there, focusing on your breath. No need to manipulate it. Just watch as the breath comes in and out. With each inhale, bringing yourself more fully present, not just to this call, but to yourself. With each exhale, releasing what no longer is needed, using the breath to connect deeply. Inhaling and exhaling. Inhaling and exhaling. And from this place, and we've done this before, I invite you to have a conversation with your business, wherever your business is at, to call it forward as its own entity. Of course, our businesses are parts of us, but they're also their own entities. Call it forward, connect with it, be with it, hold space for your business to be heard right now, just like you would hold space for a client to be seen and heard and understood. And ask your business, what is it that it wants you to know? What does it need and what does it want you to know? Let's take in whatever it says. You can ask some follow-up questions if there are follow-up questions that want to be asked to whatever your business is sharing. And then also ask your business, what does it want from this call today, from this session today? What does it need to receive from the session today? And then together we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. Allowing your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. Okay. So let's jump right in. What do you guys need? What questions do you have? What's most important? Especially since this is our last clinic call. We've got our practicum next week, but it's our last clinic call for the year. So what is it? What's important? What do you guys need today? Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey.
So I feel like what I need support with is like breaking through the confusion that I'm having. I was speaking to it in the Facebook group around just some of the logistics for relaunching my program. And yeah, I can feel like there's that confused one archetype coming up, like we've talked about, like there's just stuff in the way. And I get a sense that there's clarity and there's simplicity like in there, if I can just like push that aside. Mm-hmm. But I guess I can speak a little bit to like the specifics of what I'm struggling with. And I just end up going in circles when I think about it. But the way I've done it in the past is people enroll, and then like the day that they sign their contract, they make their first payment and they get access to everything. And mm-hmm. now I'm thinking like, there's several reasons why I think it might be better to have them pay like on like more of a schedule, in terms of like, it would be great for me if like everyone's payments came in on the same day of the month, then I could sort of like anticipate what was coming. So wanting to have payments happen like all on the first of the month, for example. But then like, how do I like lay that on top of enrollment? Like, do I have them wait to gain access and actually enroll until the first of the month? And that way there's some consistency in like when people are ending the program, which would make sending out like end of enrollment, next steps emails a little bit more streamlined. Mm-hmm. And also would create a little bit more of a cohort feel. But yeah, I'm just sort of struggling with how to do that. Like, do I take a deposit when I talk to them and then have them wait to enroll? Do I not take a deposit? Like, I don't know. I'm already starting to spin out a little bit. So I'm just curious, like from what you're hearing, like,
can you help me? I can see why. I feel like you might be overcomplicating it.
Yeah, I do that.
Like I get the, you know, many reasons, although my sense is that it'll be okay if you get payments any time of the month.
Yeah, I mean, it's how I've been doing it. Yeah, it's how I've been doing it, but I feel like it would just be nice because I sort of don't sense of like when money is coming. Like all of a sudden I'll get a deposit and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that person's payment date was up, but I don't really have a sense for how much I'm getting per month. Like I could if I ran the reports, but it just seems messy.
I'm trying to just check if it's my own filters around, just being honest, like I'm trying to check if it's my own filters around, I feel like you're gonna make things more complicated to, everybody gets paid on this, you know, everybody pays this time of month. And also it may, that may not work for certain clients, both in terms of when they can pay throughout the month. And also, let's say they put their deposit down on the 25th, do they have to make another payment then on the 1st? So you tell me, like, do those are my filters, or does that sound resonant to you?
Yeah. I feel like that's where I start to get stuck, is like, I'm trying to do this to make it simpler, but it ends up making it more complicated.
Yeah. I don't know that there's going to be a streamlined way to do it in the way that you want. I think it's going to be easier for you and your clients to keep it the way that it's been. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can think is that they can pick if they want to pay on the 1st or the 15th. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm just thinking about deposit. I think it could be taxing for some people to pay a deposit and then quickly pay a next payment again, but you don't want to go more than a month before the next payment. You know what I'm saying? So you could have them pick, I'd say, regardless, you know, they put down the deposit, I'm just thinking, are you guys not here? Can you guys hear me, or is it, it's a little choppy. Nothing's coming up that's saying my internet is not good. Let me know if it keeps on happening and I'll see if I can restart. Hopefully I won't have to do that. I honestly think you should keep it the way you've had it. I can't think of a streamlined way that's not going to drive you crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, because one of my other thoughts was like, I could just take their first payment whenever, and then the rest of the payments could happen on like the 1st or the 15th. And that makes it easier in terms of like, I don't have to come up with a different number for a deposit. It still ends up being like 6 payments. So yeah, maybe it'd be best just to keep it the way it is, because no one's complaining. It's just sort of annoying on my end, like, to know when money is coming in, but I could probably create a spreadsheet.
I don't want to just bypass this, because I actually think this is important. This is less about when our client payments coming in and more about you going to the next level and cycle of managing your money and having agency and empowerment over your money. That's my sense, Stephanie, is like what the more important thing is here is actually tracking. And what I'll just say is, usually when we get to this point, it's because we're about to bring in more money, right? But it's like, you know, we need to kind of get empowered around it first and manage and track and have the right container. And so I would say my sense is it's less about when the client pays you and more about you going deeper to be more empowered around your money.
I think there's some truth to that. And I think there's probably a very easy thing I can do in my Dubsado or in a spreadsheet, just so that I have more awareness around when things are coming due. That would probably be the easier thing, rather than messing with the whole system and having to change the contracts. And yeah, that makes sense. I have another question, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm creating this preview presentation for January around it. And I wanted to offer some kind of a bonus for people who sign up within like maybe a week or so, is what I'm thinking, but I'm sort of torn whether I want it to be like a discount on the tuition or if I want it to be like a bonus call with me. And I know there's pros and cons either way, but I'm curious like what your thoughts are on those two options.
Yeah. So the two questions are, what are your potential client's going to value most. And then the second question is, if what they are going to value most is the call with you, do you have the time for that? And do you feel like, you know, you want to generously give that, right? So I think those are the two pieces.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like since most of my clients are sort of in the very beginning of their business and don't have a ton of cash on hand, that probably the discount would be more valuable. Mm-hmm. Like I actually offered bonus calls to people last round who signed up without an enrollment conversation. And like half of the people haven't even taken advantage of that.
Well, so then there you go. So it's going to be more effective to give the money off.
Cool. Awesome. Yay. Thanks for making it easy.
You're welcome. Good. How's it, guys? Can you hear me? How's it going on the audio end? Is it okay? Kelsey? All right. I'm going to talk to Kelsey. If it keeps on happening, I'll restart my computer.
Cool. Yeah. I'll let you know. I mean, it's not super distracting. Just sometimes your voice and you're like, it just skips a little, but anyway. So I just had a question about the group program again. It's still going well. I had this thing coming up in my own mostly curiosity about staying connected to the group between. And I know we have a Facebook group. I know you have a Facebook group. People aren't really using the Facebook group. It's a small group and everyone's got so much on Facebook and we're in bigger groups that are more active. But I feel like I can go, I mean, well, one question is, well, how do you do it besides the Facebook group? Do you ping people or do you just let it go? What's your sense of how connected do you have to be to keep a 5-month container where we meet every other week? There's 7 people in the program. I want there to be a little bit more of a sense. These people are super busy. They don't want like a ton to do. They don't want a lot of things to do in between, but I want to have the sense that we're connected.
Yeah. Are they showing up for calls?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So always first thing you want to look at is like, are a critical amount of people showing up for calls, right? Because if they are, then they're engaged and they're activated and they're in the container and they're following along, right? If they're not, that's when you really want to bring in some other pieces. Oftentimes, and I'm going to call myself out on this because this is something I work through a lot, is like, we think we need to do more reach out or whatever we're going to do to keep people more engaged, but it's really more for edification of ourselves than what the client or the participants actually need, right? So if people are showing up, if they're engaged, if they're moving forward, if they're right, like probably you don't need to do anything else. That being said, if it's a small group, you know, you can put yourself on a schedule, you know, because you don't want to like overwhelm yourself, but I'd like to ping people every now and again anyway. I wouldn't do it in a taxing way, but you know, maybe once a month you just ping them, or it doesn't even need to, once a month would even be too much, like every 6 weeks or something like that. Hey, how's it going? Just wanted to connect in. It doesn't hurt to do that.
Okay.
But don't drive yourself crazy. They are showing up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. I mean, that thing that you said about it's for our own edification, that resonates with me. I can tell it's partially for me because they are showing up. But in a way it's also for them, like, cause I want them to have a good experience. I want them to be more in it, but okay.
No, that's what I'm saying. Just make sure you're doing it for them and not for you. Yeah. Cause if you do it for you, it's like busy work and could potentially be annoying.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. I'll wait till everyone, I think I have another question brewing, but I'll wait till you go through everybody else and then I'll ask another.
Yeah. And then another thing I just want to say, and this came up, I think Laura maybe brought this up last week, or maybe it was in advanced, I can't remember, but you know, some people are more prone to Facebook activity and other people not. And oftentimes it has to do with the facilitator. So like, again, you know, my Facebook groups are not the most active ones out there. And that's because I don't like to be on social media, right? So so that, and that's okay. Being said, you can also ask them to post specific things in the Facebook group. Like not just takeaways, but you know, do like this homework or you know, whatever it is. So that's something to think about as well.
Okay.
Okay.
And you are kind of freezing again for me. I don't know. Raise your hand if you're
yeah. telling me that I'm unstable. I don't even know where my headset is in my house. You know what? I'm going to call in and I'm going to put myself on mute. You guys will see me, but I'll call in. So give me a minute here just to get this set. I can figure out how to do this. Switch to phone. Okay. Can you guys hear me still?
No, yeah.
Can you hear me now? Yeah, okay. All right, hopefully I'll be able to hear you. Corinne.
Hi, Juliana. Are you back in your house?
Hi. I am back in my house. We're still under construction, but I'm here. Thank you.
My quick question. I love the Choose Your Own Shadow Journey. That was just really great. And I've used it with pretty much every client this week. I'm like, let's try it. Like I'm looking for a reason to use it and with really good success. And I'm curious if you ever do that in a group.
I'll do it if I'm coaching someone one-on-one within the group.
Okay.
And then what you can do is, you know, everybody will just get something by listening because it's so deep and emotional and they'll see, but you can also ask people to see themselves in it. Like after you do the work with a client, you can almost go back to, you don't need to, people will get what they need. But if you wanted to kind of push it more, say like, okay, now put yourself in there. What do you see? How did it feel? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So you can do that in a group. And then what we didn't, look at, which is the more traditional eidetic imagery, is there are some made up images that you can read almost that people can have an experience with. But what I would say, I only have access to a couple of them because I wasn't, you know, that's trained in eidetics in that way. But what I was sharing about, like what we did with the mothers and the nursing and that kind of thing, you can almost make up your own the way that I did with that and then bring that to a group.
Mm. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm so glad you're using it. That's great.
I love it. Great results with it. And it's so closely related to what I already do. So just like put it together for me.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask another question?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at the next iteration of the dragon training. We were doing the next webinar in February and starting the next 7-week online training in March. And I'm looking to because we're using Kajabi, it's easy for us to track. It's the first time I've been able to track affiliates in a kind of an easy way. So we did that for the last one. And I'd like to expand that opportunity. We give like 30% of, if anybody buys the program, we send the affiliates 30% of whatever the cost for the program is. And it was like two affiliates we had that both made over $800 each. And so I'd like to expand that. And I just don't know how. How do you...
Meaning bringing more affiliates in?
Right. What's like the enrollment process of... Because I'm asking somebody to promote my program with a hope that they make some money from doing it. But this feels like a, what if they don't want to? Or they probably... Like, I already... talking myself out of connecting with people that could, because why would they want to, right?
I was about to answer in a strategic way until I heard what you said. I'm like, I don't know if this is a strategy piece. What is it for you? What's the fear? What's the belief?
Probably that their programs is probably better. Why would they want to promote mine? Or if they're not, why would they want to dilute their marketing? It's probably that not good enough that comes up, right?
Yeah. And so let's say some of that feel that way though, right? Because sometimes entrepreneurs don't want to dilute their marketing. They don't understand that, that actually it doesn't dilute it, this and that. Although there are some moments where it does, like every now and again, somebody will ask me to promote something and I'm like, I can't, because of whatever I have going on. But let's say that's true, that some of them will not go for it. So what?
Yeah, so what? Just ask, right?
Nope. Exactly.
Right. They're saying no to my request and not saying no to me. Just remember that.
Exactly. Yeah. So right. That right there, like ding, 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 right? It's not a judgment on who you are or how good enough you are or how valuable you are or how worthy you are. It's either a strategic decision or some kind of belief inside of them, right? Mm-hmm. Just like when a prospect says no, has very little or nothing to do with you and your worth.
Okay.
I think this is important for a couple of reasons. So number one, I think this is a next place for you to go to with your, right, like what we're talking about, the feelings of not good enough, the feelings of worth. We all have these in our businesses. Like right now, I've never done something like this. I'm considering doing a success panel at an event that I'm doing. And I'm like freaking out internally that like I'm going to ask clients and they're going to hate me for asking them to talk about their experience with me, right? Like, because I'm not good enough and they don't really think it. All the things, right? So we all have our edges. So that's number one. I think it's important for you in that sense. But the other reason why I think this is really important for you, Corinne, is because I have a feeling that you have a lot of untapped resources. People that really would love to promote you and share about you, and that a lot of good can come of it for you and for them, and then the people that end up in your program. Mm.
Thank you. That's what my business told me to.
Good.
What a great visual.
Good. I'm happy to confirm or reflect or whatever it is.
So good. From a strategic, that feels good. And I'm sitting with my list that I've asked of people to be affiliates for the last go around and kind of getting really good at accepting no's. And mm-hmm. and also looking at, just because they said no the first time doesn't mean they're going to say no the second time.
Yeah.
What is some strategy that you would recommend?
Yeah. So a couple of things. So number one, get clear on, it's similar to what I was sharing with Stephanie on like the bonus, like what is it that people really want, right? So some people, they decide to do something like this because they really want the cash, right? That is of value. I mean, it's of value to everyone, right? But that's the driving factor. Other people become affiliates because they really love the work that you're doing, and it brings them purpose to be able to share it and share it with, you know, people that are important to them. For some people, and this may not be an exchange you're willing to make, a lot of times affiliates, what they want most is their own visibility. And so like I've done in the past where I've asked affiliates, you know, sometimes it's as easy as an exchange, right? Like I can put something out for you, but if you know that you don't have a ton of space in your marketing calendar to be putting out all the affiliates you're asking, could you put together a special web page with each of the affiliates and like a free gift that they have? And then anybody that signs up for the program also gets access to all of those gifts or something like that. Right. So is there a way to create visibility?
Right.
And you can do a combo of money and visibility too. Like they get the $300, but they also, right. So that's something to think about.
That's a great idea. I've seen that. That's a great idea. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Joanna.
You're welcome. Good stuff. Laura.
Hi, Joanna.
Hey.
Well, that really helped me just listening to Corinne. I feel like mine's more of a not maybe strategic a little bit, but it's just riding kind of an emotional wave of leading this group program and just 1 minute feeling just really confident and in my power, and the next minute my not enoughness being triggered. And when we first started and you had us close our eyes and speak to our business, my business said to me that it wants to grow and that it has legs and it wants me to trust and that I'm capable, that it's capable.
Mm-hmm.
And I emailed you the other day about this, but last week was so powerful for me in the Choose Your Shadow. Oh my goodness. It's really lovely.
I could feel the big work you were doing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I have this resistance. So, and I know we have resistance when we're growing. So I keep telling myself that. And more people keep reaching out to me to collaborate with them and be on podcasts and things like that. And it's almost like, I don't know if I'm sabotaging or if I'm, you know, it's just I'm being asked to grow. And then there's a part of me that's really has this fear of abandonment that I've discovered. And there's this older part of me that's like, I don't want to grow anymore. I've done so much healing. I want to take a break. You know, I want to take a pause from all the healing. I don't know what I'm asking. I think I just want to diffuse any kind of shame, because there's a little bit of shame too that I feel around having the fear of abandonment. Like I'm not supposed to have it, or it's, I don't want other people to know I have it or something. And it got triggered a little bit recently. So I'm having four different times during the year. I'll have a guest teacher come in and teach my group something that I feel is really going to powerfully support them in the journey. So I had a fellow coach who's a friend do a talk on human design. And, you know, it was weird. It's that fear got triggered again, like, oh, they're going to get so many answers here. And that's what they're going to need. And so then they'll just, they yeah. can just go work with her. Just like, and it feels even yeah. you know, weird to share that out loud, but it's like, gosh, Laura, you got to get this in check because your business is telling you it's ready to grow. And I don't want to keep feeling like this every time, you know, I'm faced with a new person or opportunity, or I don't want to be blocking because people are asking me to collaborate. I'm like, okay. And I'm really good at listening to my intuition and knowing if it's a good time or if it's a yes or a no. But if this fear is triggered, I'm like, that could block my yeah. intuition too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't know what you're hearing or seeing for me, but
yeah. Hold, so first of all, hold on 1 second. I wanted to see if I can improve my setup here. Hold on 1 sec. Okay. Can you guys hear me? Yeah. Okay. Now I don't have to hold the phone up. Okay. So what I'm hearing is that there's this fear of abandonment, which is also related to a fear of not being good enough. I'm not good enough. Therefore, I will be abandoned, whether it's by my clients or whoever, right? And so because of that, there's certain opportunities that you're not allowing yourself to step into because it might reveal the not good enoughness, which will then cascade into the abandonment. First, let's pause there. Does that feel right? Is that what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Like people, yeah, it's almost like this fear of abandonment feels like if someone says no or someone goes away, then what does that mean? It's almost like this primal fear of death or fear of, I don't know, like it goes deep.
Yeah.
But I don't know why yeah. it's coming out so strongly now. Is it because I've stepped more into my power and I'm, ugh.
the stakes are higher, right? Mm-hmm. Like you got used to, right? Whatever the last cycle was, and every time we level up, the old fears get triggered again because the stakes are higher, and then we get comfortable in that place, right? And then we can keep on going. So the good news here, just number one, is that I think you've dealt with this beautifully before. Mm-hmm. You've navigated this before. You know, you've never shared this, but I'm going to guess that you wouldn't have been able to get married if you wouldn't have been able to navigate this. You wouldn't have been able to have your first client if you wouldn't be able to navigate this. You wouldn't have been able to say yes and work for that coaching company that you worked for if you wouldn't be able to navigate this. You wouldn't have been able to fill your program, right? So this is well within your ability. It's just the next level of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's sparking for you here? What are you seeing?
It's almost like I even feel myself rocking myself, like, you know, like little kids do when they, it's almost like I know that at the same time, like, I think I need to be held. Honestly, that's the first thing that came to my mind. Like, I think I need to be nurtured or let someone nurture me.
I love that wisdom is coming up, right? So already we can see, like, you're not in your defensive because something important is coming up here.
right? This deep desire to be held and nurtured. So where, you know, especially in these COVID times, like where can you get that right now? And I don't know if you mean physically held or not. So maybe I shouldn't make that assumption.
No, actually, I think that's where I was going. I think I need to, that just came up as a need inside of me. Like I need to relax and let myself be just physically held as well as emotionally.
So if you can ask your husband to do that, you know, more than once.
Yeah.
I think that would be really important. The other thing is from our training, our advanced training last week, if you go back to the visualization we did with being held and the you know, nursing and all of that, that's another, and I know that that was impactful for you. I would go back to that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah. What are you, just before I let you go, what are you seeing here?
I'm seeing that I need to not be so strong or have to be perfect and just let myself be human.
Yeah. Where are you feeling that inside of you? You know, where is that truth living for you?
In my heart.
Yeah. Beautiful. So continue to come back to that. That is so important.
Thank you.
Good. You're welcome. All right. Inbal. And Anne, I want to acknowledge your question in the chat. I don't have anything on that right now. I have some thoughts, but I'll put them together afterwards maybe. But I'm glad that you're getting other feedback. Inbal.
So I decided to do this event. And I just had so much shame come up around not being in touch with people for so long. It's like 2018 and 2019, I just like couldn't keep up. And it's been so long. And so I wrote two different like intros to people I haven't been in touch with. And yeah, I mean, it's bringing up, just a ton of shame. And I'm trying to think kind of like, moving forward to really bring in more clients. And then I heard from someone that, you know, that I may not get that many people signed up. And now I don't feel like that excited about the event. And then also like trying to think forward for 2021. I just feel like such this like disconnection and like missed opportunities, you know, that it's like people who could have been like such warm, like prospects for continuing work or, you know, or even for referrals that I never really like capitalized on that. And then really like I disappeared. And so now that I'm trying to like, there's kind of like reconnect with people, there's so much coming up around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's happened has happened, right? Which by the way, is not the end of the world because people are busy. Like, yes, it's good to keep in touch.
100%. But people are busy, but regardless, like what's happened has happened. What good is it doing you to be ashamed and beat yourself up?
I mean, probably like, you know, that it's, you know, it's acting as like some sort of motivation, but it's not. And I finally just like, you know, first I wrote like this whole apology and I'm like, dude, no one needs that right now. I can't even blame like 2020 because it was way before 2020. So I did it and I sent it and I'm just curious, like, I don't want to be like this weirdo who's now like, oh, now I'm like contacting you like every week. Like, I'm just not sure, not that I would actually like something that organized, but it's like, so I feel like I'm like in a way starting from scratch and a little bit worried about this event. And, you know, this is like my first outreach. So now how do I reach out to people about like referrals or like anything else?
Yeah, so strategy in a moment, but first piece is like, is hopefully you're seeing, I know you know this, but you have to be reminded over and over. We all have to be reminded over and over, like judging ourselves, shaming ourselves for being human. And, you know, like it's like being imperfect is not helpful at all. And like you said, it could be motivation, but it's not motivating you at all, right? And energy follows energy. So, you know, I'm just pointing this out because I know that you can get caught in this a lot, like beating yourself up. And I want to just continue to encourage you to stop the cycle when you see it. Like, oh, there I am doing this thing again. It's not serving me at all. You know, so then from there, you can make better decisions about what you do want to do moving forward, right? Like, it sucks. You can say, like, it sucks. I haven't reached out to them for the last 2 years. If I could go back, wish I could do that a little different, right? Because that's real. But there's a difference between that and, like, end of the world or you totally suck because of it. So that's just really, I mean, I'll pause there for a moment. You can tell me if that feels important or how that feels important or, you know, what that sparks for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, I'm pretty good at being like, yeah, okay, like that sucks, keep it moving. But like the energy doesn't match it. So yeah. That's a good kind of like, you know, I'm good at like the vigilance, but to pay attention to like the energy shifting as well.
Yeah.
Or that the energy catches up with like what's going on in my mind.
Right. Right. Exactly. So the more that you can catch that as it happens, the more you can course correct, even if you have to course correct like a couple times a day, right? That may need to be. From there, you know, how often you reach out to people that you're now reaching out to is going to depend on their response too, right? So for people that are responding, those are your top people, right? They're open, they're like immediately open for connection. So those people, you know, ask them for referrals, you know, whatever it is, ask them about the next thing, whatever it is. For the people that aren't responding right now, I wouldn't ask them for referrals. I would wait till a moment where you're not asking for anything and then reach out just to reach out and connect in. And then if you establish something then proceed from there on invite and ask. So just treat each person based on how they're responding. Now, for people that haven't responded to your invite yet, that doesn't mean that you can't follow up with them this week or, you know, whatever it is on the same thing, but don't move on to the next ask until you've established communication and connection together. Is that helpful to think of it that way?
Yeah, I feel like there's like, yeah, something else that I'm missing here, but I can't pinpoint right now. Yeah, maybe it's like all the, you know, still like all of this shame for kind of like wasting this time and wasting these like prospects. But yeah, maybe I'll feel into it a little bit more. Like, yeah. I want to be excited about this event and doing like other events and doing outreach, but yeah, I'm not.
Is it just because of the numbers that you're not excited for the event?
No, I don't know if it's like what people need. And I'm like, maybe it sounds too heavy or like, you know, I should have done something like earlier. And yeah, I mean, it's really hard to know. Yeah, who will be there, and also really afraid of like people's reactions. Like, so in my mind, I'm like, yeah, like just imagining these really terrible like reactions to this email. Yeah, like who does this bitch think she is, like reaching out to me after like 2 years of like no response?
What do you know is actually true?
I mean, I did my best. Like, those were really hard and busy years.
Yeah, you totally did your best. Those were hard and busy years. And what else do you know? What else is a higher truth here?
I don't know the higher truth, like, because I get, like, defensive. I'm like, yeah, like, I don't have that much, like, I focus on actual clients, like, not you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
I don't really have access to a higher truth right now.
Well, I think you are, like, first of all, that you've done your best, right? And second of all, there's going to be three ways that people respond to your outreach, whether you've been in touch with them for 2 years or whether you're in touch with them every day. The first is they're going to be totally excited and happy and respond back to you. The second is they're either going to be excited or like neutral, but either way they're busy and they don't respond. And it has nothing to do with you and everything to do with their busyness. And then the third, which is very, very little, is that they're going to go into what you said, like, who is that bitch and this and that and the other thing, in which case it has nothing to do with you.
How is that?
How is that?
That it has nothing to do with me. Well, I mean, I can't control their reaction, but yeah.
So let's think back to resistance archetype, and or just even shadow, right? So if somebody does something, like if you get an email, right, they're getting your email, which is not offensive in any way. It's an invitation. It's an ask. It's asking them for something. I'm sure it's not pushy, like whatever. If in their mind they're like, oh, you know, her again, kind of thing, right? Like, nah, neutral, not interested. That's one thing, right? But if they're a place of like, who does she think she is? They're triggered. And it's not because you've done something to trigger them. It's because it's their stuff. I don't know if I'm articulating myself well today. All of my test problems, I'm a little off, but
totally.
You see what I'm saying? Like, so this is a fact, and this is important for everybody, for all of us, for myself included. Some people are going to love us. Some people are going to be lukewarm or F about us. The people that hate us, it has nothing to do with us. If we're acting in integrity, if we're not doing anything power over, you know what I mean? Like all the things that I know you and nobody else here would do, then that is not about us. Lukewarm might be about us. That's something we have to work to deal with.
Totally.
But also remember, these are people you worked with that love you, you know, and for the most part, they're going to be happy to hear from you, even if they don't have time to respond. If they go into, she's ignored me all this time, and now she's reaching out, like all the things, without them.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Juliana.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, my business said that it wanted today is just to be seen. And it feels important for me right now where I'm at in starting out just to share where I'm at. And my ask is just for some help to see how all of the different pieces are coming together, because I feel like what's for me today even is to own a couple of niches or targets or whatever, so that I can just relax into those and then move on to the next phase. So what I've been doing is sort of just watching and flowing and seeing what I'm writing. You know, my book is available this week. And I chose Saturday as a bite. Woohoo! And I was seeing how, you know, I'm not really ready, you know, to like have a proper book launch. But I've just been sort of allowing, like, what does the book want to do? It's got its own mission, and 12/12/2020 was a nice day to pick. And I had the beautiful experience of remembering my book came from sort of an openness that I had to receive its wisdom. And I realized that it was December
8th, 2001. Full circle.
And so I chose yesterday I did a ritual, and also Juliana, as the merging of, you know, the two parts of my name from the last 20 years. So I did a ritual, and I own, you know, I just offered up myself as the an integration of all of my experience, and I burned fears. And then I put on rocks, I put the opposite of that fear and offered that up as like the transmuted energy that I'm claiming and just owning for the message, the name of the book, and for myself. And so a couple things, I've just been watching what's coming to me to say yes to. One of those things is my publisher is, I have the opportunity to mentor other authors. And it feels like a nice bridge of getting clients, and I can create a group for them. And Yeah, I'm still a contractor. So it's kind of like this beautiful piece of like being an employee to being self-employed. And so I feel like they are one of my target markets or my target people. And then the other thing that has been coming through is, you know, I just did sort of a random reply on, I've been starting to build my social media and like, who do I want to be out there? And I replied into a group of childless people and just with my own personal experience, and like three people started following me, which is more than like if I do a post. So I was realizing that like what the message is about and what I've lived is that living authentically, even when it's weird, you know, like being a middle-aged, childless, unmarried person doesn't fit a mold. And there are a lot of people out there that have that similar experience, even if it's just not just like my personal one. And then the other thing that came, I did a meditation right before the call. And the other thing my business said that ties into this is like, don't be afraid to go deep. And in my meditation, I was being reminded of like, this is bringing all of my experience together, and to not be afraid of the depths, you know, like I was seeing people that like people that are in the dark night of the soul, where I've been, are the most ready to transform. And like, I was even seeing people like terminally ill people that like the soul wants to complete what it wants to complete. And so oftentimes people get to that edge, you know, like, because I've been hearing like, okay, what's the wake up in the morning problem? You know, it's got to deal with wealth, health, what, you know, I'm trying
to make that work. Yeah, it sounds like overall, I'm hearing feedback on your end when I talk, Anna, like my echo. Oh, it's better now. It feels like overall, and I love it that this is converging with when the book is going to be available, you're really owning yourself and your power and your brilliance and what you're here to do in a much, much deeper way. Like that's really what I'm hearing, like you're ready to be seen. You're ready to go deep. The book is the first step. It's an amazing, amazing first step. And I see such a shift even from when you and I spoke over the summer, where there was this like, I don't want to say, there was a reluctance to go deep or to, you know, and I'm hearing that's really been shifting for you.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's dropping in just because it's dropping in. I think it's dropping in because there are, as I said, you're owning more for yourself. So well done.
Thank you. And so how do I market that? You know, like, do you see the pattern of like the wake up, like, you know, nobody's waking up thinking, I mean, maybe some people are, they're not waking up being like, oh, I'm in the dark night of the soul. But I think they might be waking up going like, I don't know if I can, like, how do I do this? And I was thinking,
so that's what you want to speak to. Like everything that you're saying, you actually want to use those words, right?
Right.
There are so many of us right now who are waking up. You know, we've been asleep because of this reason and this reason and this, like all the reasons. And now we're ready for this and this and this and this, whatever their vision is. But we don't know how, or we feel like it's too late. We've missed the boat, or, you know, we feel like it's not the right time or whatever it is. So you want to just, you know, systematically speak to each of those things.
Gotcha. I like that. Is it too late? Because I think that a lot of people, like, that point in their life, you know, like, ooh, did I wait too late? And maybe that's why I was seeing, like, literally people that are terminal. And it's like, no, you can even still write a book to tie it into the other thing. Like, what is it that you came here to leave? Yeah, that's good. seems like I had another question that had come up, but I got excited about that. The is it too late piece. Yeah, I'm just gonna let that ground. Anything else?
I think you're on track. I'm so excited you want to market this stuff. And I say, like, all of these thoughts that you have, write them down, because you'll find phrases in them, and we can continue to, like, chew them over too.
Perfect. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome. Yay. Congrats.
Thank Michelle.
Hey there. I had a discovery call with someone this morning, and the call went really well. Even after the incident that I'm going to mention came up, I feel like she said, you know, she would like to work with me and so forth. But she said something in the call, and it was like this. And I know it's my filter, but I don't know how to not bring it into a relationship if we decide to work with, or if I should just, you know. But she said, before the pandemic was over. And I just was like, what pandemic? Like, we're still in one as far as I know. My in-laws, both of them are sick with it. It's not over. And because she's wanting help around her business, you know, the things that I would be supporting her in would be in what, I don't know. I just, that really threw me off. It was a smack. So I'll shut up and let you guide me through that.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that you're bringing it up. You're not the first person that has brought this up to me. This has happened with some other clients, a little bit more extreme. Not just that the pandemic isn't over, but the pandemic never existed. It's a farce, that kind of thing. And so what I'm about to share with you is I have filters around this, and they are checked, but I have filters around this. And I just want to say that this is my personal opinion, but it is not necessarily have to be anybody's truth.
Okay.
As a practitioner, I think it is important, and this has been something for me since before even the pandemic, I believe as a practitioner, it is important for us to not only, if we're going to take on a client, not only believe fully in our clients and what their goals are, but for us to believe in their goals, for us to want those goals to be brought into the world, and for us to feel that as we support the client to bring those goals, and so whether it's business or whatever it is, that it's going to have positive impact in the world. So that is something that I think is important for a container with a client, for us to really believe all of those things. Now, that being said, it doesn't mean that clients can't have different ideas than us, right? Like, they can have different ideas, and all those three things can be true. We can believe in our clients, you know, believe in their goals, believe that their goals can have positive impact in the world, right? So when something like this comes up, I think the question that we have to ask ourselves as a practitioner is, does this client's belief get in the way of any of those three things for me as a practitioner? Believing in them, believing deeply that they can achieve their goals, believing in their goals, and believing that their goals are going to make positive impact not only on them, but the whole world.
Okay.
So that's, I think, well, let me pause there. There's one other piece, but let me pause there. Let me hear how that's landing.
That was really helpful, because, everything else in the conversation led me to answer all of those is yes. Like, I believe I can help her. I resonated with a lot of the things that she, you know, was looking for help around that I, you know, all of those tick, 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 just that one thing was hard. Right.
So, that's the question. And now let's say you come to that thing is blocking one of those three things, right? So then there are choices there. So one is like, and so that is it, and it is not right, and done, right? So for example, one of my clients has a client that is QAnon, like QAnon, right? And not in integrity my client is a business coach, not in integrity to help her build this person's platform and visibility, because this person is sharing those things and writes my client, that is not right. So, and that's never going to change. Like, that person is QAnon, right? So that is not, you know, not only, it's just not an integrity for so many reasons, right? And to be the person to support that client.
Gotcha.
In a case like the one that you're mentioning, if you decide that's a no-go for me because it blocks one of those three pieces, I don't think it's as extreme as QAnon that you can't have the conversation and say, hey, like, I love everything that you're sharing. I love everything that you're doing. I know I can help. Like, I believe that you can do this, all the things. I just want to be upfront and honest, you know, before we work together. You know, my ears perked up a little bit when you mentioned that the pandemic is over. And, you know, we're all entitled to our own opinions, but I know it's been very real for me in my life and in my family. And I know that because of that, you know, I feel strongly that it's important to take it seriously. And I don't feel I would be in full integrity with you unless we talked that through first.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. So that you're not telling her she has to be one way or another, but that you have a deeper conversation so that you can learn more about what she actually meant by that.
Perfect. Thank you. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Good. You're welcome. Chelsea.
Hi. Oh, I'm so glad it came back to me. So I'm having a little bit of an issue that I just saw some business coach write something about how, you know, this kind of business owner does it this way, and this is the better way to do it. And one of the things that was in like the this way was blogging about yourself or writing about yourself. And then the more enlightened way or the better way is to like be providing content that's, you know, helpful for your clients and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden my inner critic was like, oh my God, am I just writing about myself? I'm trying to provide content. How do you know the difference? And here's what's happening for me. I've committed to doing a more regular newsletter. And I've also done work with Kara and all about personal stories. And I'm like, okay, so there's this way that I want to bring in what's happening for me. And I am so much fear around people being like, why is she just writing about herself? Like, and the step between your own personal story and like making it coachy and like making it like, here's your takeaway. So like, you know, you're not a writing coach necessarily, but you do this so beautifully. So I would just love, I'm stuck. Like, I'm about to write another newsletter and I got that thing. And I was like, oh, am I just writing about myself? Is this like, people are going to be bored of me writing about myself? And how do you write, last question, but it's related. How do you write? How do you engage with the audience when you're not launching something? You're just like writing to write, you know, here's some info. Here's what's going on for me. I mean, it's the end of the year. I have a topic, but it's like, I'm stuck in this. How is it helpful? And how is it personal?
Yeah. Great question. So first of all, I just want to say, I totally disagree with whatever business coach said that thing. I personally could not disagree more. You guys know I write a lot of content, like didactic things, and then I write a lot of personal things. Without a doubt, the personal things get more responses, more emails written in, like thank you so much, you know, like all the things without a doubt, you know? So I want to share that. Now, of course, I don't just write to write, you know, I always bring it back in to answer your question, like, what's the lesson, right? So what have I learned and observed and seen through this personal experience that's going to be helpful for my readers, for the people in my community, right? And just make that connection. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. Like, if you saw the newsletter that I sent out last week, it was all about just really, like, you know, the mammogram. It was, you know, and then I brought it back to the importance of self-compassion and all of that. When I was writing it, and this was my intention, it was to normalize this for people so that they don't beat up on themselves so much. And that's what it did. Like, we got so much response. You know, I can write about creating awareness and the different ways to kingdom come. And like, that's great. But what gets people's attention is me having a breakdown in the doctor's office. And that's like what they appreciate more than anything else.
Right.
Who knew?
Okay. So it's just, of course, share the personal experience and bring it back. And I think the part, I knew that. Of course, I knew that. I think the part that sometimes I get stuck on is what's the lesson for my audience? Because I don't, you know, have a few, but I just have to keep repeating the same lessons.
The lesson for your audience is the lesson for you, right? So I when I write about a personal experience, I'm like, what did I get from this? What am I observing from this? What do I see for myself in this? Mm-hmm. That's what your community needs.
And when you're not launching something specifically, you're just checking in. You're just writing the thing.
Totally. So the article, I did tie it back to Sacred Depths because I happen to be in the middle of selling Sacred Depths right now. But that wasn't even the idea. Like, I just tied it in at the end just because, like, may as well mention Sacred right. Depths. But that could totally stand alone without mentioning it. Although I will say, even when we're not launching something, remember to mention your offering, like work them in there. You know, I mean, we want people to know that this is the work we do when they work with us.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm going to probably relaunch my program in March. So I could start saying, you know, in the spring.
Seed and message always.
And this is sort of since you're saying about what works for you, do you find, or have you tested that if you put the whole story in the email versus like click through to read the rest, what, cause like sometimes they're a little long and that's a lot in an email, but then will people click through? Cause especially if the tie-in is in the, you know, like, do you have a preference there?
We haven't tested. I always go with what I would do. So I would not click because busy. I don't know. Yeah. So I just assume the same of my community.
And so you often, I mean, that's what happens then is you don't know, you can't really tell how many people read it. You get opens, but you don't get a lot of clicks and you just assume.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great thing, but you can test it for sure. Like do a couple where you test one way and test the other and look at the metrics. That's a good idea. I may do that. It's not to test it. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Good question. Lissa.
Hello.
Hey.
Okay. I was in listening mode. I have to switch. So I have a very good friend who contacted me over the weekend because she had a moment with her husband where she's like, that's it. So it's like, and this is the work that I do, helping someone when they hit that moment. And so we've been having I had a conversation with her on Sunday, witnessing and, you know, all of that. And I got to use our shadow yesterday with hers, and she loved it so much that she did a shout out of me on Instagram, but I don't know how to use Instagram, so I don't know how to get it. So, but we'll work on that. But I was
okay, yeah, we need to wait. Can I just pause there for a moment, Lissa?
Yes.
So first of all, yes, we need to work on that for you to get it. But I just really want to acknowledge you. Like, that's amazing. You know, we did all that training last week. It's an advanced technique that I taught, and you went and you ran with it, and you got this, you know, this testimonial unsolicited publicly. Yay. So
right.
Great.
And she does tapping, and we found, and we did this, and she's like, wow. So anyway, it's making me think, and I'm just, and we have time, and, you know, so I'm just kind of stewing with it. You know, the classic way of working with someone is like once a week, you just set up a schedule. But it's just because of the people that I've worked with, you know, friends and, you know, that have found their way to me. It's at this level of like waiting a whole week is too long when they're in the midst of something like this.
Yeah. So,
I'm just wondering, like, how do I massage a container? Is it like, so I was walking this morning and I was thinking, maybe it's just like, you know, like nine, they get 9 1-hour sessions with me, but she's in England and we do this on WhatsApp. And so there's voicemails and, you know, things like this. And so I'm just concerned about the idea of like getting pulled into their vortex. And if I have like a roster of like 6 clients all hitting their walls, like, I'm just wondering what kind of container, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, absolutely. It's a great question. And every container is different depending on what work you do and who you work with and who your ideal client is and what results, you know, what situation they, you know, all of that, right? So it really runs the gamut. Like, you know, you're saying it's typical every week. I don't work with my clients every week. I generally work with my clients every other week, you know, sometimes every third. We're in communication in between that time, right? Mm-hmm. But what a lot of people do, I'll tell you what I offer, which I think you should think about, and then I'll tell you what another idea, which I think would be good for you and your people. So first of all, I offer email, right? So we can email in between, and recently Voxer. Now I let people know, you know, I'm very clear that if you send anything over email or anything over Voxer, that is very long and complicated or something that I feel we need to be in our voice-to-voice container with. We need to move it to a call, and I will do my best to move one of our calls earlier if need be. And then even though I don't have this in my contract, I just make it known, and I do this often. Like if somebody every now and again needs an extra 15, 20, 25 minutes with me, I'm not gonna say no. Like they just get it because they need it in the moment, right? All with boundaries around it, like understood that it's not going to be an every week kind of thing, right? But every now and again, if it's needed. And I give that generously because there are boundaries around it. And so it doesn't tax me, you know, and I charge like that is built in to also what I charge, right? Mm-hmm. So my clients have access to me via email and Voxer whenever they need. They know it'll be, you know, I usually respond before 48 hours or 2 business days, but they know that I may need that time. And they also know I may say, we need to bring this into a conversation. Either it's paid, if I think it's a full session, or something shorter. From there, I don't do this, but I know some people that do, and I think it might be valuable for your people is in the package that they sell, they have X amount of sessions, like weekly session, whatever it is. And then they also have 5, I'm making this up, but like 5 book me anytime sessions. And it may not be a full length, it might be a 20 minute, you're like, I hate to use the word emergency, but maybe that is a good word, I don't know, where if they like need you, they have X amount of sessions where, you know, within the day, you'll make it work, whatever it is. So that might be something interesting to think about, but with all the other boundary pieces that I was talking about before, so that, you know, you just don't get overtaxed or like you said, like caught in the, sometimes people are in a drama in the moment,
right,
and they just need the space to let it pass, right? So sometimes clients will send me an email with, you know, but I can tell they just need a little space, and I don't hop on the phone with them right away. I reflect, I validate, I encourage, and I ask them to check in with me the next day. And a lot of times it's all good by the next day.
Right.
So I know I'm throwing a lot of different things out, but is this helpful?
Yeah, I'm just thinking of examples. And of course, these are women who, you know, they're not, they haven't been paid clients. They're women who know me. And so, you know, there can be a space where like they're kind of circling a drain and they just need to like check in every day, like, so maybe like just a little, I guess that could just be like
but
a gift.
I think, yes, but what I will say, Lisa, is maybe part of the issue is that they're not your client.
Right, right. I understand that.
So when there isn't like that structured container, right, there's a different dynamic, there's a different no expectations, right, have been set, right? Right. So, here's what I want to say. Some friends are absolutely not meant to become clients, right? I hate it when business coaches are like, all your friends become clients, right? Like, that is just not true, right? There are some people that should not be our clients. We should not charge to be our clients,
right,
all of that. But that being said, there are other people who actually would benefit greatly from our support. And sometimes we can be afraid to create that relationship because of all the things, but it actually is going to support them. So like, I have a client who is like the person, she's amazing. And she's the person that everybody wants to like have a cup of tea with and pick her brain. She's so knowledgeable about like nutrition and herbs and oils, like all the things, you know? And she got to a certain point, this was a few years back, where it was like everybody picking all her friends and people in the PTA. She's a mom, you know, a lot of people. Everybody's always picking her brain. And I was like, this needs to be formalized. Like these, you know, and so I just want to encourage you. There may be some people in that group who don't fall into that category, but I have a feeling there's some people that you're working with right now that you actually should be working with.
Right. Yeah. They've been my practice people. So it's all good.
So see if they want to take it to the, not everyone, right? But are there certain ones that it would be aligned to take it to the next level?
Yes. And the payment is the testimonials on my site, I guess you can say, and that I've had the opportunity to gain confidence and all the things. So I would, yeah, thank you for that reflection. And I'll think on it and I'll keep my eye on it and I'll be aware of the idea of setting expectations. And I'm also aware that it will also reveal itself to me. These guidelines will reveal themselves to me as I go.
For sure. And I want you to have all this information as you go into it so you don't expend.
Exactly.
We all in the beginning expend extra energy just because, right, having a little, you know, some more pointers helps. Good.
Thank you.
So exciting.
I appreciate that.
All right, you guys, I'm sending you all love. Thank you for your patience with the technical difficulties. I appreciate all of you. And I will see you next week for our practicum. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Oh, and thanks, Calvin. I'm so happy to be back in my home. Bye.
Love it.